You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Last month, the 2024 Indian general elections were held, leading to the third re-election of Prime Minister Narendra Modi and his Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party. To many, the re-election of Modi signals the rise of Hindu nationalism in Indian society and the country's shift towards theocracy and authoritarianism. Associate Professor and Director of Global Studies and the Faculty of Arts, Chris Ogden, talked to us about the significance of Modi's election and why we should be keeping a closer eye on the world's largest democracy. Can you tell our listeners what happened in the recent Indian general elections?
So in the recent elections, the Hindu Nationalist Party under Narendra Modi won again. They didn't win an absolute majority, but with coalition partners, they're going to be able to have a third term in office.
What implications does the re-election of Modi and the BJP have for India's democracy?
Well, many say because Modi doesn't have an outright majority that he'll be less powerful, but this is the third time that they're in power, and it means a further contraction of democratic principles and a further privileging of the Hindu majority, which will have a negative consequence for any opponents of the government and any religious minorities. Maybe I should say that again.
How could the election of Modi and the BJP lead to a detraction of India's democratic policies?
So in the last two governments, there's been a contraction of human rights across the country. So there's been a contraction of rights of freedom of expression, freedom of association, freedom of the media, freedom of academics. And these are all ways in which human rights are contracting. Also, if you're not a Hindu, some of your rights will be restricted concerning access to certain privileges, the ability to live in particular areas of India.
India was originally founded as a secular country, and it's something that they've prided themselves on for quite some time. Does it look like India's on track to changing this?
So that's certainly right, that India was formed as a secular country, meaning that it's based upon principles of tolerance rather than being non-religious. And the original idea of modern India was that all the different religions could all live together in harmony. What we've seen in the last decade is that because of the nature of Modi's party, which privileges Hindus above other groupings, this basis is starting to be skewed. So there's less equal access for the population. In terms of whether it can be fundamentally changed in terms of the constitution, that remains to be seen. But certainly on a day-to-day level, there's far greater levels of discrimination against minorities.
If India moves closer towards theocracy and undermines its own democracy, could this damage their reputation on the global stage as well?
So that's a really good question. So definitely Modi likes to promote the country as being the mother of all democracies, claiming that it's the world's oldest democracy. And certainly those democratic principles are attractive to external partners. I think the biggest deciding factor at the moment, though, is that India is increasingly needed to balance out against an ever more assertive China. And in many ways, other countries, particularly I would say the US, European states, Japan to a certain degree, Australia, need India for strategic reasons, which mean often they overlook domestic issues, such as constricting human rights, such as there being less democratic principles. So I think the overall situation that India finds itself in, it's favourable to not being criticised, which means that many of the actions that have continued, that have been happening for the last 10 years, will continue into the future.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with what's happening in India, could you tell us a bit about what Hindutva, or the Hindu nationalism movement in India, is?
So the party is based upon, again, privileging or at least seeking to assimilate the wider population towards a Hindu viewpoint. So this means focusing upon Hindi as a major language, Hindus as a majoritarian group within the country, and creating what the earliest leaders of the BJP and Modi's predecessors saw as being a Hindu-dominated country or a Hindu Rashtra, or sometimes known as Hindustan. And those are the major ideas. Any other group that is seen to be outside of that is seen as a threat. So that means Muslims, it means Christians, it means actually China to a certain degree, because China is seen as being non-religious. And their dominance of politics means that those values are slowly being injected into the way that domestic politics works. So that means rewriting of history textbooks, for example, making sure that judges are much more respectful of a Hindu-dominated kind of worldview, and really just a slow but fundamental change in the way that India sees the world.
Modi's Hindutva rhetoric has largely been targeted at Muslims throughout his tenure as a leader and politician, but are there any other groups who have been affected by Modi's policies?
So definitely predominantly Muslims, but also Christians, because they're seen as external outsiders who are bringing in a foreign religion. But realistically, any religious grouping can be a target for Hindutva believers. The one possible exception would be Sikhs, because there's a schism with the Sikhs several hundred years ago. So they're actually seen as kind of cousins to Hindus. But predominantly Muslims, predominantly Christians. But really, it kind of goes beyond religion. I think anyone who criticizes the government, suggests that the government could do things better, will also be a target.
And what about the BJP's political opponents? Have they been affected by Modi's policies as well?
So what we've definitely seen in the last 10 years is a kind of regression in terms of political opposition. So certainly in the last election, the ones that happened in June, they did much better. They doubled the number of seats, but they only still got around 100 seats when you need a majority of 272. And really, it seems that they're fractured. They don't fully know how to respond. But also, it goes much more beyond Hindutva. Modi is this world-striding leader. He's kind of banging the drum for India, Indian politics. He is overseeing very large amounts of investment, very large amounts of economic growth. And I think it's very hard for the opposition Congress to respond to this effectively.
Going back to the election results, I understand that the BJP's victory was won by a very slim margin and that they originally didn't even have enough seats to form a government without a coalition. Since the margin of victory was a lot smaller for Modi this time, does this have any implications for the BJP's rule or the state of Hindu nationalism in India?
So certainly it means that they'll have had to make deals with their coalition partners. When they last had a coalition in 1998, for example, they had to drop some of their major policies. I feel sure that this time round that will have happened. But equally, I feel sure that Modi will say to the coalition partners, you can now be in power. We can give you particular things. So I think it will be a negotiation from a position of strength. Another way of looking at it too is to say that it's possible that those within the BJP feel that they are perhaps in their last term of power for a while. So they may well double down on trying to gain the kind of political vision for India that they want.
Finally, taking into account New Zealand's relationship with Modi and India, does our government enable Hindu nationalism in any way?
I think New Zealand's contemporary relations with India are very much like New Zealand's contemporary relations with China, of really kind of treading a fine line and balancing on quite a sharp tightrope. So clearly there are very key economic things that we can gain from India as a huge global economy. But equally that means not necessarily turning a blind eye to human rights abuses, but certainly being less vocal about them than maybe would be necessary. As to whether that enables or emboldens Hindutva in India, I think is a very different question. And I certainly don't think that the New Zealand government is directly or willingly doing so.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.